Hey, everybody, it's Andy. Welcome back to the North Point Community Church podcast. Hey, at the end of this episode, please take a moment to subscribe to our YouTube channel and download our free North Point app where you can access all of our recent message content. And actually, the app is the easiest way to share all this content with a friend, and it's the easiest way to keep up with everything going on around here at North Point. But most importantly, I hope the following presentation inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey. Enjoy.
Hey, you remember the first time that you ever jumped into the deep end? You know, like at a pool or a lake? Isn't it one of those like iconic childhood moments that you remember for a long time? My son, who's now 5, he did it for the first time last summer, and he did the full cliche thing. Like he scampered up the ladder, he tiptoed out to the edge, freaked out crying, like, I don't want to do it, and we're like, go, and then he finally got the courage, you know, stuck his arms in, and we're like, yeah, and it was this amazing, iconic moment. And no matter who you are, you remember that, like, you remember the call of the deep end, you know? I'm Jamie, by the way, and like Marquise said, I'm one of the pastors around here and around our churches. I've spent 10 years at Buckhead Church with Inside Out. And man, I gotta tell you, my wife and I, we love this church, like love this church. And so do our 4 kids. As of a few months ago, we had 4 kids, 4 and under. You heard that right. We just figured out what's causing it. But here are they. That's my wife, Sarah, my boy, Cashman, Peyton, Riley, and then the new guy, there's Austin. But yeah, so we're in that little kids phase. You know, some of you remember that or you're in it, or if you don't know what little kids phase is, it's the phase where you don't hear crying anymore. Like I was at lunch with a friend, you know, and he's like, that baby has been crying the whole time. And I was like, what baby? You know, it's just like white noise. We're in the phase where everything is a napkin. You know, kids are dirty all the time. Anything can be a napkin. Your shirt, random piece of paper. I think I used my credit card at one point to scrape off food, you know. We're in the phase where you smell the liquid to see which one it is. Y'all remember that? Where you're like, is that apple juice or, nope, that's pee, you know. You're like, ah. We're in the phase where when it is pee, it could either be one of my dogs or it could be one of my daughters. You never know. So that's us. But we are so excited to be hanging out here, and I'm so excited to be starting a 3-week series exploring this idea of the shallow end and the deep end. I got to be honest with you, usually when I get an opportunity to speak on Sunday morning, it's a part of a series that's really broad, you know? That's like a title that's universal, a subject matter that kind of applies to everyone. It's like a series for everyone. This series, however, is not that kind of series. This series isn't for everyone. This series is for a specific person or a specific category of people. In a nutshell, this series is for anybody who wants this right here. This series is for anyone who wants to get out of the shallows and take a step deeper in their faith. It's for anyone of any age or any stage of life or any stage of faith who just wants more. It's for anyone that kind of senses that they've maybe come up to a ledge in their faith and that out there are deeper waters and you're considering, and maybe have been for a while, what would it look like to jump? And so that means this series is for you if you're in a couple of categories. This means this series is for the curious skeptic. If we got any of those in the room, we are so glad you're here. But maybe you're here and you're not a Christian, or you used to be a Christian, but you're giving it another shot. And you're here wondering if there is anything real to this Jesus thing. And man, I remember being in your shoes. I remember going through a stage or a season of life where I'm like, man, do I really believe any of this? Is it just because I grew up in the South and my parents are Christians? And so I get it, and maybe you're here and you're thinking, listen, I've toured the shallows, thank you very much. I just want to know if there's something real behind all this. And if it's there, I want to find it for myself and investigate it for myself. And you're maybe part of you is wondering how you could do that. And if that is you, oh my goodness, this series is for you. This series is also, though, for the hungry novice. Some of you might be in the room, like maybe you're a new Christian or a recent Christian, and you're just in the phase of going, bring it on. Like, you just want more, you know? I remember being in this phase. It's so amazing. You just want to grow. You want more of God. You want more worship songs. You want more sermons. You want more everything. God's presence in your life. You're just like, bring it on. And maybe you even have a person in mind, like somebody who's further down the road from you in the faith, and you're like, man, one day I want to have a faith like her faith, and some part of you is wondering, how do I get there? And if that's you, oh, this series, it is for you. It's for you. One last category of people this is for sure, though, is the restless veteran. We got any restless veterans in the room this morning? The restless veteran, this is you. I know what it's like to be in this category. Like you've been following Jesus for a while, you got some years under your belt, and you've blown past some milestones in your faith, and you found yourself wondering, what's next for me? The series is for you. Or hey, maybe you've actually been following Jesus for a while, doing the Christian thing for a while, but you suspect and kind of sense that you've plateaued, you know? That maybe you've gotten stuck. That maybe your best days and your closest days in your faith are actually days that you remember. You know, that you reminisce about being closer to Jesus, but you are not cool with it. And you're wondering, what do I do about it? Oh my goodness, if that's you, this series is for you. Who this series may not be as much for is this person right here, the happy camper. This series may not be as much for the person who is just happy where they currently are spiritually. And don't get me wrong, we want you to be happy. You know, we really believe that Jesus will make your life better and make you better at life. So if you are hanging around here and you are happy, we are happy. But I'm just saying this series may not be as much for those who are setting up camp in their faith where they currently are. It's not as much for those who are content with the shallows or even content with wherever they happen to be on the spectrum. But if that is you, if you're in this category, that's okay. You are in really good company, and I've definitely been there myself before. But here's what I do hope. You know what? This is what I do hope this series might do for you. I hope that this series inspires you. I hope that this series maybe lights a little bit of a fire in you, maybe whets your appetite a little bit for more of God. I hope that potentially this series may open your eyes to some things that you didn't know were there and some things that maybe you didn't think were possible. That's my hope for you. And to be honest, here's what I think is going to happen to many of you that find yourself in this category. I think as we get into it, I think some of you are going to go, wait a minute, no. I'm not one of these. I'm actually one of these. Or at least I want to be. I think that's going to happen. And I think that because here's what I know about you. I know that you've been to the pool, you've been to the beach, and you've watched The Bachelorette. You know what shallow is. You know what shallow is, and you know that you don't really want it. Like, you know that the shallows are, yes, fun and easy and safe and well-populated, but you also know that the shallows don't age well. The shallows very quickly become basic and limited and not enough for you. No, it's the depths. The depths are where the good stuff and the real stuff and the powerful stuff of life is, the stuff that you never get over. And that's why we are drawn to them. In fact, here's what I know. Anytime that you have gotten out of the shallow end and into the deep end in any area of your life, I bet you were always grateful and you never wanted to go back. And that's true of all areas of life. They're true of relationships. It's true of your career. And it's true of the realm of faith. Sure, faith can be intimidating and feel mysterious and sometimes be scary to talk about. But here's what I know. Whether you are an agnostic or a Christian, every single one of us wants something real in our faith and something with depth in our faith. None of us wants the shallows. None of us wants to get to the end of our life and say, yeah, man, in the whole realm of spirituality and God and the big questions of life and in faith, I stayed in the shallows, baby. None of us wants that. You don't want to stay in the shallows in your faith. And by the way, if you're a Christian, you can't afford to stay in the shallows. You know this, right? Because the shallows aren't going to keep you engaged. The shallows aren't going to keep you around church. You know that, right? The shallows aren't going to capture your heart. The shallows aren't going to compel your intellect. The shallows aren't going to impress your kids. The shallows, they're not going to make you the kind of person that you want to be. The shallows aren't going to develop in you a faith that inspires and blesses the city of Alpharetta. That's the deep end. And so I just want to say, right as we start, whether you are a Christian looking for what's next, or perhaps a cure for your stagnation, or whether you are a newcomer wondering if there is something real and powerful to this Jesus thing, I just want to tell you there is. Oh my goodness, there is. What you are looking for is out there, deeper is out there. In fact, I think it's right in front of you. And this series is about discovering that together. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. Some of you might be sitting there going, wait a minute, getting out of the shallows in my faith and growing deeper. Wait, isn't that your job? Like, isn't that what you do? Or hey, we don't really know you, so let's not give you too much credit. Isn't that Andy's job? I mean, come on. Isn't this church's job? Isn't faith in the category of those things that's like taxes and indoor plumbing and flying a plane? You know, it's like stuff you get other people to do for you. Like, isn't that what it is? And to be honest with you, for the longest time in my life, I would have said, absolutely, that is someone else's job. Until I read the passage that I want to read to you this morning. I want to read to you an excerpt from the letter of Hebrews. It's found in the New Testament. And this letter is written by an author that we're not sure of. Some think it's Paul, many do. Others think it's somebody else. But it's written to a group of Christians who are looking for more in their faith, who are looking for deeper in their faith. And this author is writing to them to try to lead them there. And I want you to hear what he tells them. I think you and I need to hear what he tells them, because this is what he says. He says, there is much more that we would like to say about this being God, this being faith, this being what God is up to in the world and up to in your life, this being what he's been talking about for the last 4 chapters. We have much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain. Why? Since you have become dull of hearing. Another translation says, slow to learn. It's like, ouch. Dude, you better believe if I had this letter written to me and I knew it was going to be in the Bible and billions of people were going to read it, I'd have thrown that thing away. But here's what he's essentially saying to these people. He's saying, listen, guys, coming from the position of a pastor, someone trying to grow their faith, he's saying to them, you guys, I want to take you deeper, but I can't. I want to take you deeper, but I can't, and it's not because of me. It's because of you. You're getting in the way. Like, I'm doing my part, and church is doing its part, and the sermons are doing their part, and the songs are doing their part, and God's doing his part, but you're not doing yours, and you're getting in the way. And it is keeping you in the shallow end, or it's at least keeping you from the depths that God has for you. I want to take you deeper, but I can't. And North Point Community Church and those watching online, I think it is very possible that what was true of them is true of us. What if we're getting in our own way? Like, what if we have everything we need from Andy and from church and from God to go deeper in our faith, but we're doing something or not doing something that is getting in the way? Like, what if there is a change that many of us need to make right now that until we do, listen to this, no amount of sermons, no amount of songs, no amount of podcasts, and no amount of books is going to be able to take us deeper in our faith? I'm going to suggest that that is indeed the case. And that's what this series is about. This series is about 3 things that we need to start doing in our faith, 3 dials that we need to start turning in our faith, 3 roles that we need to step up and start playing in our faith if we want to get out of the shallows and experience all of the depths that God has for us. And the first one of those is actually found in this very passage, and that's what we're going to look at today for a few minutes. And I'm telling you, unless you and I are willing to lean into these, this year, there's going to be very little that Andy Stanley can do, or your small group leader can do, or your books can do, or your podcast and the preachers you listen to can do to take you where you want and where God wants you to go in your faith. And that's what he starts out by saying. We got a lot more to say about this. There are a lot more depths to explore. We're just getting started, but we can't because of a step that you have not yet taken. And as a Bible nerd, I would argue that what he says next is probably the greatest insult in the entire Bible. Here's what he says to them next. He says, in fact, in case the last verse weren't offensive enough, let me just double down. Though by this time you ought to be teachers, in other words, you ought to be advanced in this stuff, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk not solid food. Dang. Whew. Here's what he essentially just told him. He's like, hey, you want to know what the problem is with you guys? You don't want to know what your problem is? Your problem is you need to act your age. Oh, snap. You remember when somebody used to say that to you? Do you remember the days when somebody would tell you, act your age? Anybody remember that? Oh, you remember how horrible it was? I remember when anytime somebody told me to act my age, it would crush my soul. You know, you're like, I am acting my age. No, you know, it felt so horrible. And no matter how old you were, it stung. Because when you're 5, and I have a 5-year-old, you don't want to be told you're acting like a baby. When you're in high school, you don't want someone to tell you you're acting like a middle school. Uh-uh. When you're in college, you don't want to be mistaken for a high school student. No way. You want to act your age, and you want people to notice. And though you may get older, that desire doesn't change, does it? It just becomes less about your age of life, and it becomes more about living up to your stage of life, right? Like for me, I don't care as much about being like 36 years old. I might actually prefer to be 26 years old. But you better believe I want to live up to my stage of being a dad and a husband and a pastor. Yeah. And the same's true of you. If you're in your 20s, you want to live up to that stage and people think you're trendy and going places. If you're in your 30s, you want to live up to that and like you're building a career or starting a family. If you're in your 40s, you want to feel established and successful and live up to your station. I mean, you might want to be physically in your 20s, but not financially and relationally. You know, you're like, no, I want to live up to my station, and so on and so forth. We want to act our age no matter how old we are. And the question that kind of jumps off the page, if you will, from this verse is a kind of hard one. And it's simply this: are you acting your age spiritually? I don't even like hearing that question. Nor the implication that maybe I'm not. But that is exactly the criticism that he's leveling at these people. In case you missed it, the insult was right here. You need milk, not solid food. You need milk, not solid food. That's a jab. But there's also a really big truth in here that I don't want us to miss. And it's this. Here's what he's essentially saying. In the same way that there is a progression physically in life that we all understand, you're a baby and you're a child, you're a teenager, you're an adult, you're an elderly. In the same way that there is a progression physically in life, there is supposed to be one spiritually. Like when you just become a Christian, it's like you're a baby eating up the basics about God, but then you grow up a little bit, sinking your teeth into some solid food and some more advanced stuff about God, and then you grow up some more and you actually start finding spiritual maturity, you know? It's a natural progression spiritually, like there's supposed to be one, like there is one physically. And by the way, if you're not a Christian, same thing's happening in your life. It just might not involve church, because we all start out with the same basic questions about God, but then you like read a book, you know, or you go investigate something, or you talk to some people and you start forming your worldview. It's a progression spiritually that happens in the same way and looks the same way as this progression that just naturally happens physically. And it's supposed to happen. But when it doesn't, things get weird. When it doesn't, that's when things start to go wrong. And the problem with these people is not that they were drinking milk at some point. No, the problem with these people is that they started on milk a while ago, and after all this time, they're still doing what? Yeah, they're still drinking it. And that image is meant to be unsettling. That picture is supposed to feel weird to us, but it sometimes doesn't, because we read the Bible like it's the Bible, you know, and we just let weird stuff in the Bible happen, and we're like, whatever. But I want to make sure that we're like feeling what it is he's trying to say. I think it's really important for us this morning. So if it's all right with you, I'd like to show you two scenarios. Can I do that this morning? You can speak back at me. It's okay. I'm not afraid. Thank you. So I would love to show you two scenarios. As I mentioned in the beginning, I recently had a brand new baby boy. So for Exhibit A, please welcome to the stage my wife, Sarah, and my little boy, Austin. Hey, babe. Hey, little man. This is Austin. Hey, buddy. Oh, yep, you are little. As you can see, he got my pasty white skin, not my wife's beautiful tan skin. Sorry, bud. Y'all ready for Exhibit A? You are, I can tell. Exhibit A. Yeah, there you go. You want some milk, don't you? What do y'all think of Exhibit A? Yeah. Oh, he's looking out. He's like, what's going on out here? Yeah, you see Exhibit A and you go like, oh, or you go like, oh, that's cute. Or at a minimum, you're like, yeah, that's totally normal. I mean, maybe not on stage at church, but I mean, this is normal. And why is it normal? Because he's a baby. Yeah, this is what babies do. They drink milk. In fact, he drinks milk exclusively. This is all he does. What a great life. Exhibit A. Why don't you give it up for them? Thanks, babe. I'll let him finish that. All right. So now for Exhibit B, please welcome to the stage one of our high school students, Jacob. Come on out, Jacob. Jacob, what's up, man? Jacob is a senior at Alpharetta High School, and he wasn't prepped thoroughly for what's about to happen. I don't know that any of us are, but so you're going to be Exhibit B today, so I need you to come here and sit on my knee. Can you do that, please? Just come here. Yeah, I know. We'll get over it later. Jacob and I literally just met today, so you think you're awkward. Here, you're going to need that. Are you guys ready for Exhibit B? Jacob, are we ready for Exhibit B? I don't know. Okay, here we go. Do you want some milk? I know you want some milk. Yes, you do. Come on. Come on. Come on. Okay, I can't do it. I just can't do it. I can't do it. What do y'all think about Exhibit B? Yeah. I don't know if you said boo or ooh, but both apply. Yeah, what do you feel when you see Exhibit B? I mean, it's weird, isn't it? Yeah, you're sitting there going like, that's awkward. That might be the most awkward thing I saw in church, you know, in a long time, you know? You're like, it's gross, it's awkward, it's an HR nightmare, I don't know what they're doing. Yes, it's all of those things. And can you imagine if this is what he actually drank? If he had been drinking this his whole life, I'm not even sure he'd still be alive. But nevertheless, this is Exhibit B. Jacob, you're the man. Thank you, bro. I'll take the toy. That's my boys. Y'all, sorry to put you through that, but that's the image of this verse. That's what you're supposed to feel. If you're feeling weird, you're feeling it right. If you're like, that's awkward, you're feeling it right. And again, the problem with these people was not that they drink milk at some point. Exhibit A. That was not the problem. The problem with these people is that they started on milk a while ago, and after all this time, they're still drinking it. And the writer of Hebrews is going, guys, you're Exhibit B. You're sitting on a dude's lap getting bottle fed. And y'all, I think the question that maybe needs to be a game changer for some of us this morning, or maybe needs to bother all of us this morning, is simply this. What about you? What about me? There's a progression spiritually that is supposed to happen, just like the one that happens physically. And my simple question for us this morning is, where are you? Where are you? I mean, I know you've progressed on physically. That just happens without you doing anything. It's inevitable. But what about spiritually? Where are you? And perhaps even more importantly, how long have you been there? How long have you been where you currently are spiritually? Like students in the room or postgrads in the room. How long have you been where you are spiritually? Young marrieds, parents with kids. I know life's crazy and exciting, but how long have you been where you are spiritually? Empty nesters, retirees, all the options. How long have you been where you are spiritually? How long have you been there? And I wonder how many of us in the room would answer something like I would answer, and you'd go, a while, yeah. Or maybe some of you would say, a long while. In fact, some of us in the room, you would literally, you'd just be like, I'm being honest, as long as I can remember, I have been in the same place spiritually. I've grown up in every other way, but I'm still in the same place that I've been as long as I can remember. Or maybe you just have no idea. But I think we're all probably in there somewhere. I know I am. And I don't know about you, but you know what I think? You don't want to know what hit me this week? I think my son deserves a better answer than that. Like one day he's going to grow up, he's going to learn to speak, and he's going to go to Wambaland, and they're going to tell him that God is his heavenly father, and the first person he's going to think about is me. And man, I sure hope that when that time comes, I have a better answer than for a long while, you know? And I know you feel that too. Like, don't the people you love deserve a better answer than that? Isn't this area too important? Like, doesn't your family deserve a better answer than that? Don't your friends deserve a better answer than that? Don't your kids deserve a better answer than that? Don't your employees or your coworkers deserve a better answer than that? Or hey, North Point Community Church, doesn't Alpharetta deserve a better answer than for as long as I can remember? I think so. And even if you're not a Christian, I think we could all agree that you deserve a better answer. Like you do, like you owe it to yourself. You owe it to your intellect. You owe it to your life. Like your friends are too important. Your moral choices are too far-reaching. Your example is too noticed. Your influence is too great. Your future is too valuable. Your friends and your family and your legacy are all too important to say when it comes to spiritual things and God and human worth and wisdom and the big questions of life that I've been where I am for 10, 20, 30 years. No, I think we owe it to ourselves and to the people we love and to God to have a better answer than for a while, for a long while. And sure enough, that's what he says next. What he says next is how they can get a better answer. And it is the first principle for getting out of the shallows and experiencing all the depths or whatever depths you're looking for in your faith. It's one of the three, the first of three, that unless we lean into it, I just want to tell you, it's highly likely that you're going to spend another year of your faith staying in the same place or about in the same place. And here's what he says. He says, anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. This is the deep stuff. Not acquainted with that if you're living on milk. But solid food is for the mature who, by constant use, have trained themselves. Let's all just say that together. Trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Solid food is for the mature who, by constant use, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. You guys, there comes a point in every child's life when the mom has to put down the bottle and the child has to pick up a fork or a spork and start eating solid food. And if that happens, then one day soon that child's going through Chick-fil-A and eating chicken nuggets. And if that happens, then he grows up into a man who can cook his own food. Why? Because through constant use, he has trained himself. He has fed himself. And in the same way, if you and I are going to grow up spiritually, if you and I are going to fully mature in our faith, if you and I are going to get out of the shallows into something deeper in our faith, then we too are going to have to learn to or continue to and be committed to feeding ourselves. At some point, you got to put down the bottle and you got to pick up a fork. And unfortunately, what I know is true because I've been there, what I know is true that for a lot of us in the room and a lot of us watching online, especially among those of us who are young, for as long as you can remember, you have been coming to church and just doing this. Feed me. And guess what? Exhibit B. That's you. That's you. You're in high school or in college in your 20s and your 30s, and you are still exclusively depending on somebody else to prepare your food and deliver it into your mouth. And I just gotta tell you, that's what's getting in the way. Like, that's what's holding you back. That's what's keeping you kind of in the shallow end. You're an adult who's still drinking milk. And you know what's probably true of you? I'm not trying to be offensive, but you know what's probably true of you? You'll probably agree with this. I bet your knowledge of God is probably smaller than you wish it was. I bet you struggle with the same sins over and over again more than you wish you did. I bet your relationship with God kind of does the up and down thing, you know, more than you want it to. I bet your faith is easily rocked more than you wish it was. And I bet your influence in the world is probably more marginal than you mean it to be. Why? Because that's the profile of an immature Christian. That's the profile of an adult who's still living on a diet of this. And much like me, at an earlier stage of my life, when I was right there with you, you probably don't even realize it. No one's probably even ever bothered to tell you. It's probably not even your fault, but nevertheless, you're 17, 24, or 36, and you're not acting your age spiritually. You're still drinking milk. And y'all, listen, I'm not saying this because God is mad at you. No, are you kidding me? God's not mad at you. God loves you. He is crazy about you. He wants to do something amazing in your life and in your faith, like this year, like probably even this very month. He's not mad at you. He just doesn't want you to miss out on any of it. That's what this is about. And the writer of Hebrews is trying to say, hey, if you want to go from getting in the way of what God's trying to do to actually getting on the way there, then you need to go pick up a fork and start feeding yourself. Where's my fork? Yeah. He's saying if you want to go from getting in the way to actually getting on your way to what God wants to do, you need to go find one of these and start using it. And I think today for some of us is going to be the day that you do, because in just a second, I'm going to offer you one. And I'm excited about that. Before I do, though, I want to talk to just another group of people. I want to talk to the veterans in the room, kind of like the long-term Christians, you know? Maybe you're a small group leader, or you're like on staff like me, a professional Christian. You've been walking with Jesus for a while. Maybe you've had your fair share of solid food through the years. Isn't it awesome that we don't struggle with this? Isn't it great? Yeah, right. Yeah, man, no, I'm sweating just talking about it up here. Y'all, I got 4 kids. In my current stage of life, it is so easy to put my faith on autopilot. And I just wonder how many of us are in like the exact same position. Not that you're still a child spiritually. No. You read the Bible in college. Like, you studied it in your 20s. You've spent time with Jesus. You've gone somewhere in your faith for sure. But I just wonder how many of us have let off the gas. I wonder how many of us have started coasting. I wonder how many of us have just decided we're fine because we got really busy and life got crazy. So we're like, oh, no, we're just fine. I wonder how many of us, when I asked, how long have you been where you are spiritually? I wonder how many people like me went, a while. Because at some point we just decided we're done, and now we come to church like we're taking our car in for a tune-up, you know? I wonder how many of us are at risk for spending the next 10 years getting 10 years older, but not 10 years deeper. Like, I wonder how many of us are at risk for spending the next 10 years getting 10 years older, but not 10 years closer to Jesus, not 10 years wiser, not 10 years more in command of the scriptures. I bet a lot of us are at risk for that, because I know what you know. The craziness and the busyness of life is always going to push us back towards Exhibit B. It's going to happen constantly. And maybe, just maybe, some of us need to wake up a little bit and re-examine what our current spiritual diet looks like. Not because God's mad, but because God is so excited about what's next in your faith. He is not done with you. And by the way, if you're not a Christian, isn't this one of the things that like frustrates you about Christians? Like, oh, this whole thing I'm talking about, you know, that you ask a Christian their opinion and they have a really strong one, and then you're like, why do you believe that? And they're like, And or they just repeat a line someone told them, and you're like, yeah, I read that one too. Thank you very much, you know? I know that's frustrating, but here's the only thing I want to suggest to you. It is possible that you could be in the exact same place. You might have a different label. Like, you may call yourself an atheist or an agnostic, but for some of you, it's not a sign of maturity, actually. It's not because you've sunk your teeth deep into anything, because you're like, you know that you haven't. Go feed yourself. Not because I think you're going to magically become a Christian. No, it's just because I don't want you to believe whatever you believe or believe nothing simply for lack of trying or lack of investigating or lack of digging deep. No, don't let your label be an excuse for immaturity. So no matter who we are, no matter where we're coming from, the depths are out there. The shallows are never going to be enough. The depths are out there. We got a lot more to say about this. God has a lot more to say about this, a lot more depths to lead us into. But we have a part to play. And until we do, we're going to get in the way. And step number one is simply realizing this principle right here. The shallows can be bottle fed. They absolutely can. And if you're at that stage, then have at it and enjoy it. And I hope you love it. It's amazing. But what I need you to know is this: the shallows can be bottle fed, but the depths have to be self-fed. That is true. The shallows can be bottle fed, but ladies and gentlemen, the good stuff, the best stuff, the stuff you'll never get over, the depths, they have to be self-fed. And that is why I would love to, if you would let me, I would love to challenge you. I would love to invite you to start reading this for yourself. This is a Bible. And I would love to invite you to start reading it for yourself. I know that there are a lot of podcasts you could listen to, sermons you could listen to, devotionals, whatever you can read. But this passage is not about those. This passage is about an invitation to start reading these books and these letters for yourself, particularly the ones about Jesus. And if you would allow me, I would love to challenge you to do that this morning. Why? Let me tell you why. Because I want to invite you past a secondhand knowledge of God. Please don't spend another month waiting on somebody else to read the Bible for you and find out what God wants to say to you and then pass it on to you on a Sunday or wherever you're watching from. Please don't spend another month doing that. God has something to say to you. Go listen. Like, let's both do it. Let's both do it. Don't settle for a secondhand information, whether you're a veteran or a skeptic. You owe it to yourself to go past that. But if you are a Christian, it's even more than this for you. It's not just about information. For me, I also want to tell you, it's about experience. Like, I don't want you just to get past secondhand knowledge of God. I don't want you to have a secondhand experience of God. You know what I'm saying? I don't want you to have a secondhand relationship with God. The reason that I'm so eager for you to read the Bible for yourself is not simply because of what you will find there, it's because of who you will find there. Yeah. And I'm telling you, when James said, draw near to God and he will draw near to you, he wasn't lying. He was speaking from experience, you know? Like when David wrote in the Psalms, in his presence is fullness of joy. It's like in his right hand is pleasure forever. He wasn't just being poetic. He was speaking from experience. When Paul said, I would count everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, he wasn't just trying to hype you up. He was trying to tell you the truth from his experience. Church, don't you dare live on secondhand experience of God. The real deal is way too good. Don't live on secondhand experience. I want so much more for you, and so do you. That's why I'm passionate about this. I don't want you to settle for secondhand information, me either, and I don't want any of us to live on secondhand experience. The real deal, it's way too good, y'all, and you know that. There's hundreds of people in this room that could go, yeah, I've seen that for myself. And so in the name of that, I would love to invite you to take a step this morning. All together as a church, I would love to invite you to join us as a staff in doing what we're calling 21 Days of Deep. It's the best title I could come up with, but sorry. 21 Days of Deep is going to be a journey from the bottle to the fork. And the role that we want to play is that of Blue Apron. Y'all know what Blue Apron is? Blue Apron is that service that'll package up all the ingredients, send it to your door, and give you all the instructions. All you have to do is open the box and feed yourself. That's all you got to do. That's what this is. If you opt into the 21 Days of Deep, and I'll tell you how to do that in a second, you're going to get a text every morning for 21 days with a passage of Scripture, some of the 21 best passages of Scripture that we could find. We package them up for you, and they're going to come into your phone in the morning every day. And all you have to do is open it and feed yourself. And the way that we're going to feed ourselves is a method that's been around for a long time. It's an acronym called SOAP. And SOAP is how you're going to feed yourself. What you're going to do with this verse, it goes to a website. You'll see it right there. And then what you do with it is this right here. SOAP, each one stands for something. S stands for scripture. So you're going to read the scripture, and then that step is done. Then O stands for observation. You're going to think about it, and you're going to find at least one thing that you think God wanted you to hear, that you needed to hear, that's relevant to your life or helpful or whatever, and maybe write that down. And that step is done. A stands for application. You're going to think about it and go, what do I need to do differently as a result of what I just read? Or what's something that might change about me or what I think or do? And then maybe write that down as well. And then finally, P is you're going to pray about it. And that can take 10 minutes, it can take 15, it can take 30, it can take an hour, however much time you have. And the goal here is at the end of 21 days, not only will you have a new habit, don't discount the value of that, but you will have a new format that's very easy and very accessible with that you can take and use as you read any other passage of the Bible in any book. That's what we want for you. This is a 21-day experiment and going from the bottle to the fork. It's going to be on this website that you're going to get access to when you opt in. It's going to, you'll see this graphic, it'll re-explain every single one of these. There's actually going to be a blank version of this that you can write your own answers into, and you can post on Instagram. Instagram's going to be involved. A lot of you know how to do this, to take this, write your answers, post on Instagram, hashtag NPShallows, which you'll see that in just a second. But man, it's going to be a great thing that we would love for you to join us as a staff in doing this together as a whole church and see what God does. Now, here's how you can opt in, and this is what I would love to challenge you to do this morning. Would you just right now take the courageous step of opting into this? You can opt out later. We'll never know. God will, but we'll never know. But would you just take the courageous step of opting in? And here's how you can text NPShallows, NPShallows, to the number 555-888. Just do that right now. Do that on behalf of yourself right now and just see how it goes. Again, you can opt out at any time that you want, but this is going to be something powerful that we do as a community. So while you're doing that right now, just want to give a couple words of encouragement. If you're not a Christian, this is for you. You read things all the time that you're not sure that you believe in. We want you to be a part of this. Veterans who already have a Bible study, you can keep doing that, but would you mind leading the way in this? Would you mind getting involved? Maybe not for you, but for us to see you leading the way. That'll be really encouraging. We really want to do this together as a church family. But I'm telling you guys, come on, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. God has depths out there for us. He is not done with you. He is just getting started. And maybe we need to go from getting in the way to getting on our way. We're going to spend the next 10 years getting 10 years older. Why don't we also spend it getting 10 years deeper? And that's the church that we want to be. That's the kind of church that we want to be. So guys, I am praying for you. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you that you will pick up a fork this week. Or if you put it down, you'll pick it back up. Or if you're already at the table, that you will dive in and you will dig in more than you ever have before. And that as a result, our faith will get deeper. And it will become not only more powerful to us, but more compelling to others. The shallows, they can be bottle fed. But you guys, the depths, they have to be self-fed. The shallows can be bottle fed. The depths have to be self-fed. So bon appetit.